So out of the heart comes forth the daily issues as to what your lifestyle is going to be, as to blessings or curse. He said to Israel, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. He said, now I'm going to let you choose the one that you want. And he enumerated the things that followed the curse, 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, you can read it. And he enumerated the things that followed the blessing. And it was, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out, and blessed shall be the fruit of thy womb, blessed shall be the fruit of thy kind, and on and on and on. Then cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out, and cursed shall be the fruit of thy womb, and cursed shall be thy kind, and on and on and on. And they chose the curse, and they were made the tail, and they've been put down, and they were given the spirit of slumber, and the world has walked over them. Whereas he had said to them, this is the curse. But if you choose the blessing, I will make you the head of the nation. All the nations will bow down to you, and you'll be in control. And of course, they're coming around now. Their eyes are beginning to be open. The Gentiles' time is about fulfilled. And they're going to weep when they see the nail prints in his hands as to him that offered them the blessing. And they're going to receive the blessing, and they're going to be made the head of the nation. And all nations is going to flow unto them. They're going to be in control. And it won't be this warped up government that we have today, of where people can work in the government and pay no taxes, and at the same time take a big raise while they're putting even more taxes on you and just bleeding you to death and robbing you. This warped up system of ours. It won't be like that. You won't be enslaved as to tribute. Okay. I want to skip about and read one or two scriptures here and give you a little contrast. I'm glad to have you. Appreciate seeing Dale out this morning. Glad to have every one of you to come out and be with us. I trust that you're praying for us. There's much to be done. And I trust that you are praying for our trip into the Philippines, which is coming up real fast now. When you come to the last 2 or 3 weeks, or it is with me, that when I get 2 or 3 weeks before my meetings, it looks like it spins like a top. So I trust that you're praying for me. And those that are going into the islands, you need to get out of the negative state of mind and give us a little positive understanding, because there's arrangements that has to be made, and has to be made as to maybe 14 days ahead or whatever for you to get the benefits of going in. And if you don't do that, then you've got quite a number of dollars, as to hundreds of dollars, that you'll have to pay aside from that. Of course, some have already paid their deposit. And there's certain things in the world that you have to do, you know. It isn't that you want to do them, but you have to do them. It's like, for instance, you have to brush your teeth. Somebody says, I'm a sovereignty, blessed pet, I don't have to brush my teeth if I don't want to. Well, that's fine, you know, you really don't. You can let them all rotten out. Same way with your feet, you have to wash your feet or go around with stinking feet. I mean, you got a choice. You got your sovereignty. Same way when I was a little boy, I'd snag my britches and mama had to sew them up, or I went around with a hole in them. And the same way with my shoes, my dad had to buy me another pair, or either I had to put pasteboard at the bottom of them, which I've done, my shoes, when they wore out. So you know, you've got a sovereignty like serving the Lord. You've got a sovereignty. You can serve the Lord or go to hell, you know, either way you want to do. But I feel this way. I feel that it's good that we come to learn in life that we've got certain things that we've got to do. You know, Paul said, if you don't work, neither shall you eat. He made it real plain. You don't have to work. You know, you got a sovereignty. You don't have to work. But if you don't work, neither shall you eat. So if this is what we call sovereignties, you know, then the world is filled with sovereignties. Oh, it's like paying taxes. You don't have to pay taxes. You go to jail. You know, you don't have to put your kids in school. You know, you can pay the fine or go to jail. You don't have to do them things. You don't have to obey the speed limit. You know, you can break your neck, or the judge can put you in jail and make you pay a fine. This is what's wrong with the world today. You know, we've got a generation that's coming up that says, bless God, I'm a sovereignty. I'll do what I want. I got an education. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. But I think we was all better off when I was a little boy and we didn't have no education. We was just ignorant. And we knew, we were so ignorant that we knew that if we didn't work, wouldn't have no cornbread and peace. And so we just was ignorant enough that we worked and followed the plow and we didn't know too much about nothing. So we didn't go around trying to argue with anybody to prove our point. We just know there was a time to go to work and there's a time to get off. There's a time to have a bowl of peace if you had the bowl of peace. And it's a time when you didn't get no peace if you hadn't raised no peace. So I think we was a whole lot better off back there with good common sense that taught us not to be always disputing and trying to become a philosopher and some great dignitary and some celebrity. At least back in that day, we had a good, clean wife that was a lady and not a harlot to live with. And we had sons and daughters that were precious in our sight that wasn't a bunch of dope addicts and killers and murderers and liars and cheats and harlots and whoremongers. At least that's what we had in that day. At least the other man stayed home. We didn't have to call the police, you know. Grandpa or Daddy, he just plapped the whip if somebody come on his property or come over, you know, messing around mom and the kids. And the other man, he learned he lived over to the next building and he went back home. And Grandpa didn't always have to shoot somebody. He just had sometimes, like when the dogs came around, he had a little thing where he just took one of the shotgun shells and he filled it up with okra seed. And he fixed it real good, and he cut down on the dog, and the dog left. And the dog went back to his place of abode. And Grandpa was the same way with a man. It didn't make no difference with him, you know. So I'm not saying that that's the policy. I'm just saying it was a whole lot better than what we got now, where you have to call the police after they have molested the child, and the child stolen and gone off, and nobody don't know where it's at, and some folks could care less. You know, and the police says, well, we can't do nothing in under 24 hours. In 24 hours, the child is strangled to death and gone. You don't know where it's going. It could be hundreds of thousands of miles away, you know, by plane or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? And you didn't have to run around after some kind of a law that could care less. You know, a bunch of lawmen that's nothing but bill collectors anyway. And, every time you get a little bit behind, that's where they were in the early life, even when the king asked permission to put them here in Georgia, a little old state of Georgia, when they were in prison and couldn't pay their bills, and they put them here in a rugged, rough, no good place so that they could work and dig it out and pay their bills and not spend their time in prison. That's how Georgia got its name. But I'm just saying it was a whole lot better off when we just had good common sense and every man had his own little patch. And sister, she didn't go off necking, you know, and she didn't, when she had a date, she sat down in the living room, and he sat down in the living room, and mama, she sat with a peephole, you know, and when you got out of order, it was just too bad, because daddy come, and that was too bad for sissy and her boyfriend, too. So I don't know how it was with you, but back in the days, when I come up, my grandpa whipped me or the neighbor. It didn't make no difference. If the neighbor kid come over, and he got out of sauce, my grandpa, Pa, he'd lay the slop on him too. And the same way if I went over to the neighbor's house, you know, and the part that was so interesting about it was I found out that Grandpa and him had an agreement that they'd do that. And we all got along real good. As they used to say, there ain't no hiding place down here. And if it wasn't for the corruption of today, you know, everybody trying to write a book about what we ought to do and how you ought to raise children, a lot of them ain't never had a kid in their life. You know, they're just looking for a meal ticket. And their philosophy, if we could get away from that and get back to good old common sense and just take the word of the Lord and the rule of the Lord, folks, we wouldn't need all the hospitals. We wouldn't need all the medicine. When I was coming up, about all we needed was a good dose of castor oil and some black broth. And we had one or two other. What was it? Anyway, that's about all we could stand. That's about all I could stand. Sometimes Mama had to hold my nose to get that down. But that took care of it about once a year, and that's about took care of it there. We was healthy. We romped across the fields, and we wasn't lazy. We felt like working. They got through with you. You know, you didn't feel so sluggish. People today are so lazy until they're dying. You know, you quit doing anything, and within a few days, you've done lost your health. You have to do a few things just to stay alive. And wives has done got to be, you know, these television wives, as we speak of them, that serves you the little pot pie. And a daddy, you know, the way he does it, he works a little bit and cons the man out of about three times that he was supposed to pay. And he thought he got by with it because he thought he had really feathered his nest by cheating that man when he should have charged him about a third, you know. And then the devil, he give place to the devil, and the devil, he just eased in by the RS, and he took what daddy had profit and some of dad's other too. And dad come out on the bottom side. That's the way the world is run. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You beat me over the head, and I'll beat you over the head. You know, you steal my money, and I'll figure out a way to steal yours. That is to say, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And the world is in a mess, but it don't take nothing but good common sense to put it back where it was when it was all right. Folks, we know a whole lot, and we're doing just a little. And a whole lot is required of us because we know a whole lot. And that means, as it is in the home, when dad knows a child is old enough and he knows a whole lot, he gets a whole lot of beating. And when he's little and he don't know a whole lot, daddy don't work on his hide too much, as Brother Mike says. But it is a true fact that we need to come back to good old common sense. Jesus said, pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. And I know some of you, I understand. I know you believe everything I say. You're following me right to the letter. Some of you ain't never paid your taxes. Let's praise the Lord. Follow me to the letter. That's the way they did Jesus. That's the way they did Jesus. Somebody says, well, you didn't have to say that. I don't see any reason in paying taxes. I'll be honest with you. If there ever was a fellow that didn't see any reason for paying taxes, it's me. If there was a fellow that thinks that it's a bunch of thieves and robbers and it's the underground, I tell you as of truth, it's the old underground. That's where they got it from. It's the old Moffat. But nevertheless, it's not a matter of paying your taxes. I keep telling you this over and over. I'm for you. I'm with you. I believe that you shouldn't pay your taxes. You shouldn't ever give a dime. So far as the taxes, that's the way I feel, and I tell the IRS that. But there's another thing that's involved, and that is obeying God and honoring the Word of God. Whereas the Bible said, honor magistrates and them that are over you as to the law and whatever. And Jesus said, go down to the river and get the taxes, Peter. Come back and pay them lest we offend them. We can't afford not to do this because we've got to be a light. It'll be taken up in the Supreme Court of God someday and then we'll settle the thing. And you'll see the old Moffat as God drives them out. But right now it's a matter of faith and the Word and being saved by faith of honoring the Word of God. Jesus did it. And leaving us an example. And he's the one that said, do it. So somebody says, now you're on taxes. Brother Pike, now you're pulling for the IRS. Well, I'm just trying to keep you out of prison, that's all. I'm just trying to help you. And I'm trying to keep you out of hell. That's all that I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. As to your sovereignty, as you call it, I ain't bothering with it at all. You don't have to pay taxes. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm just telling you that somebody said, well, if I pay taxes, they're going to mistreat me. I know, and if you don't pay taxes, they're going to mistreat you worse, the more severe punishment. Let's read just a little bit over in the book of Isaiah. Maybe these things don't mean a whole lot to you when I say little things like I do before I start preaching, but I'm just telling you, that's the way I think, you know. That's the way my mind is programmed, and that's the way I'm put together. And that I'm a firm believer, as the Bible said, seek out and search out or ask for the old paths, and you'll find peace and rest. to your soul. I find that if I can seek out the old paths, that that's the right way. That with all the modernism that we have today, we don't have anything but a living nightmare. Our world is just a tragedy, as the song said. And it's just a nightmare. And I don't see where we've advanced. I don't see where we've done nothing. I see that the only thing that we've made is a conglomeration of a mess. Now, I do say this, that as to the old paths, there was some satisfaction. We didn't know much, and God didn't require much, so the devil didn't have much strength to hurt us and torment us. And I know that this is supposed to be the polished day, of your mannerism and your ethics and everything else. I know that. But to me, it's just over the hill. You know, it's just over the hill from now. God said, pass on through this land of Esau, pay your way, keep yourself straight, and just over the hill, over the Jordan, you're going to enter into what you think this to be right now. And you're going to enter into that world of health and happiness and peace and strength and joy and jubilance. You know, and that you believe this to be as to this lying vanities that you observe. You'll be getting out of this wilderness because you're crossing from the old paths over to Canaan. And you're having to go by the way of this world that's called the wilderness. And it's a frustrating mess, a conglomeration. And life as to this world is a tragedy. You can be sure. There's no mistaking there. But if you'll keep on walking, as the song said, then after a while you'll, you know, I can see being a Christian. That's right. That's right. Being a Christian, it is beautiful. It is wonderful. It is a great life. It is a great world. But that which is in between, I just don't have any desire for that. Let's read together. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, why do you preach to us like you do? We are the Christians, all right? Chapter 58 in the book of Isaiah, it says, cry aloud. That's why I'm preaching to you like that. I'm to cry aloud. And it says, spare not. That's why I say what I do. One, Jesus said, as to one, I say to all the same. And spare not. The Bible said, if you spare any of them, there'll be pricks in your side. He said, and lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And that's why I holler at you like I do. And show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. And that's why I tell you that you need to repent of your sins and your wrongs and your transgressions and level off with God. And now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, isn't he speaking to the wicked people? Well, let's read and see. Said, yet they seek me daily. Now, when has the wicked ever sought God at any time, let alone daily? Yet they seek me daily. And delight to know my ways. Since when has the wicked ever delighted to know anything about God? As a nation that did righteousness, the Bible said we are a peculiar people. And he called us a nation, a peculiar nation. A nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. Real pious, real hypocritical. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They say, and Brother Pike, what does this mean? Jesus, tell me this. They take delight in approaching to God. They say, I'm glad to be at church. I'm glad to hear about this. Let's talk some more. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. And these people have fasted, and they've done without their meals. And they say, I just come off of a 3-day fast. Said, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? These are people of self-denial. They deny themselves of many things. And thou takest no knowledge. But it didn't move God. He didn't pay any attention to it. Now here's the answer. It says, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. You know, I'm going to fast 15 days and have a tent as big as old Robert's. Folks are just going to flop before me and I'm going to be a television artist. I'm fasting for pleasure, one would say. And exact all your labors. That is, I've got all my plans and motives. I feel like if I tell them that there's 15 people here that can give $50, that I can feather my nest, and I got everything in order. He says, and behold, ye fast for strife. If I can fast, you know, and outdo my neighbor, if I could fast a day or two and I know that he's not, then he's subjected to me and I'll lord over him. I'll tell him where to get off. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate. I'll prove my point. After I've fasted, I'll prove my point. They'll know that I've done it and they can't. You know, and I can tell them and I'll be the Bible scholar and they'll have to listen. They ain't going to say nothing about me because I fasted. And it goes on to say, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Just being wicked, doing the things that you want to do, living it up in the flesh, and your fast wasn't worth 15 cents. It only strengthened the devils that had a hold of you. Ye shall not fast as you do this day. He said, that's not the way to fast. That's not the way to fast, he said. He said, as you do this day, that is when you really get down to where you can't go and you don't know what to do and you're so tore up, you're ready to listen to God, then you begin to cry, oh God, hear me. Oh God, have mercy. He said, to make your voice to be heard on high. That's the kind of fast that's right. He said, is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? God said, isn't there any pleasure in that for me? He feels our infirmities when we're fasting. He's also grieved. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush that was to get in sackcloth and ashes and fall down in the presence of God as they did in that day? And to spread sackcloth and ashes under him, will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Do you feel like this is what God is looking for? And that this is what makes you something in the sight of God? He said, rather, is it not this? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. That is, we need to be testifying about the Lord. We need to tell people about the righteousness of God. We need to tell them about their error and correct them in their ways of living. He said, this is my pleasure. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. That is, to help break off the things that they're laden with as to oppression, demon oppression, and to lift a little of their load, to share your bread with them, to share your time with them, to offer them a little consolation, that when they weep, you weep, when they rejoice, you rejoice, to be as one mind, and to let the oppressed go free. That way you let the oppressed go free. And that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? You know, maybe you don't see anybody to bring into your house as to just taking them down to your house. Whereas I pray the prayer continually, Lord, send the poor to my house. This is my prayer. It's been my prayer all down through the years. I know sometimes my wife gets disturbed, and sometimes my children get disturbed, and sometimes my brethren in Christ get disturbed. And I don't blame them, because it's enough to disturb them. As Brother Taylor says, sometimes he boils like a little Chinese teapot. Because he sees them take advantage and it upsets him, and he's certainly got a right to be upset. And with the people with whom he's upset. If Jesus could plait a whip, Brother Taylor can be displeased. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. Okay, so I'm saying this, you know, the poor comes to your house. And I've said this to you before in the way of exhortation. We start talking ourselves out of it. The old hippie, he's pulling a deal. Somebody told him about us. That's how he got here. He ain't want nothing but money. That's why he come, is just to get help. That's what we prayed for, isn't it? Somebody said, just a helping old hippie? Talking to some of you hippies, what do you think about it? That's what got you here, was the love of God. It was the love of God. It wasn't somebody preaching that got you here. Like I said about the little boy, the shoes, and the preacher wanted to know what was preached that made the daddy to repent. He said the little shoes that was on my baby's feet, when he didn't have any shoes, he was given shoes. So that's what preached him into the altar. See, go out and compel them to come in. Somebody says, one thing about it, I believe, and I hope you don't mind me talking to you, as I say so often. You know, some of us say, well, you know, I believe that we ought to go out and compel them to come in. You know, and I believe the house of God ought to be filled up. So you go out and you talk. And you talk so much till the fellow, when he finally gets loose, he thinks there's one thing about it, that fellow won't hem me up no more. So instead of getting him into the church, you know, he leaves altogether. How do you understand what I'm saying? I better not say what I started to say. I just hold on to that right now. Started to give you an illustration, but it might go the wrong way. But anyway, this is what you do. And you talk to them, and you are so religiously out of order, until when you get through talking, the Bible said, a fool uttereth all that he knows. And you've done said everything that you know, trying to tell him something to show him how great you are and how much you know. And as we say, the least you could have done was dim your lights and not blinded the fellow and cause him to wreck. You know, you jump out there with him and you try to feed him and you choke him to death. When even in the audience, as to the preacher, he's commanded to give them the milk of the word that they might grow thereby, because the meat is for the strong. But you're trying to tell them a revelation in something that you don't know yourself. You don't understand yourself. And you're trying to preach to them when you're not even called to preach. You need to sit under somebody that, for about 2 or 3 years to find out what's going on. Because your motives is nothing except to lord over them people, or to subject them people to you, or get yourself a following, or find out how you can stake yourself so you can live better without working. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's tell it just like it is, man. And that's all it amounts to. Now, when we say go out and compel them to come in, what are we talking about? We're talking about dealing your bread to the hungry. We're talking about taking the poor into your house. We're talking about sharing with them. You know, you ladies get together. Fix some of these boxes. Fix some of these clothes. Take them into Mexico. Why do that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and then keep yourselves unspotted from the world. You know, what's wrong with our children, folks? What's wrong with them? Somebody said, a bunch of reprobates. No, that ain't what's wrong with them. Said, well, it's like Jesus said, that sinful, adulterous generation. No, that wasn't what done it. He was just giving a description of what the results of what you done turned out to be. That is to say, the Bible said the parents, they ate sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. That's where the problem is. You've been the hypocrite. You've been the reprobate. You've been the proselyte. You've been the one that fasted. You've been the one that prayed. You've been the one that come to church. You've been the one that done all these other things and was one of the biggest hypocrites all the time. Jesus said, Pharisees, scribes, said you're a bunch of hypocrites. So that's what you are. And said the sinners and the publicans go into the kingdom of God before you, and the harlots and the drunkards will make it in before you, a bunch of church folk. Let's give him another hand. Somebody said, now who are you preaching to? He said, cry loud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people about their transgressions and their sins. Somebody said, now, well, bless God, I thought you was preaching we was perfected forever. That's true. But the only thing is, the perfection is in Christ Jesus, and you have to obtain it. Let's give him another hand. When you learn to submit, when you learn to conform, when you learn to believe, when you get away from the world and you leave all these things alone that I'm talking about and do all these things that I tell you to do, then you'll automatically get his righteousness. Until you do, you don't have nothing. You are transgressors. All right, so then we go out into the world to do one thing. I know, brother, this don't set well with you. You like to eat too good. Let's give another hand. Maybe that fellow will get away from that spirit. You know, some people just have to drag an old dead cat in. You can tell them to enter in with thanksgiving, but they have to drag that old dead cat in, you know, that old dead dog. One thing I appreciate about Tony and about Brother Roger, they will come in and take the dead rats out. Of course, I have to take them out too, you know. But they'll come in at least to reset the traps or do something. Because it don't take but about one day and you've got a stink. I can't stand the smell of them things, you know. He don't have to be dead and rotten. He just has to be in there a while. And that's the way it is here. You don't have to be dead and rotten. Some of you just stay in here a little while and we have to start spraying and cleaning up. All right. Want to be a housekeeper, a good housekeeper. So what we need to do is to learn to conduct ourselves right, to live right, to be holy, to be godly in our conversation, in our conduct, and not no gossiping, backbiting, fault finding. Go out there and tell them about Jesus. You know, I go over to Brother Taylor's house and Brother Taylor's hungry. Now, I say, Brother Taylor, I've come to tell you something. You know, and of course Brother Taylor could say, Job's miserable comforters, go on, you know. And I say, Brother Taylor, you're having a problem. You're having a problem, I've come to pour in the oil and the wine. And I start pouring it in. And I want to bandage up the wounds. And Brother Taylor, I'd like to fix you a hot cup of something to drink. And while you're there, I'd like to massage your back, you know. And then I say, and by the way, Brother Taylor, I'll be leaving in a little while. I got to go to church. And up there, there's some of the best folks you ever seen in your life. And they're always doing things for people like this. And I'd like for you to come over and meet some of them. I got a feeling that Brother Taylor would come to church. I got a feeling he'd come to church. Now, I'm going a little bit to the extremes, but not too much. Sometimes they massage my feet. Sometimes they massage my back. Somebody said, well, what do you think of them? I like to stay in tune with them because they might do that again. So I have compelled Brother Taylor. The love of God constrains me, Paul said, and I've compelled Brother Taylor to come in. If that didn't do it, day after tomorrow, I'll go back over there, take him another loaf of bread. I talk to him a little more. You know, and after a while, when the devil's come to him, it's the bunch of people that's in a cult over there, that bunch of, and on and on. And after a while, you know, it's, won't you go up here to this church? Won't you go up here to this church? Well, them some fine folks, they got a good name. Everybody thinks the world of them up there. You'd really be something. You'd have a start in life. And while he's thinking on all of that, all of a sudden another little voice says, up at the other church, what have they brought you lately? What have they done for you lately? Have they been out to see you? Have they done anything for you? And then you get to thinking, you think, now wait a minute. And then you begin to differentiate. You think, wait a minute, something's wrong here. It wasn't that bunch that is in the upper echelon that came out here to me. It was that bunch of cults, they call them. That was the one that kept me from starving to death. The least I can do, I think I'm going to go over and feel it out and find out if all these rumors I hear is true. Let's give the Lord a hand. And so it was when the man went down to the prophet. He went over to the king first. And the king couldn't heal his leprosy. Then he went over to the prophet. And the prophet said, well, got a healing for you, but that is if you ain't afraid of the mud. If you ain't afraid of the mud, you'll be part of Bethlehem. But if you're afraid of the mud, he said, if you're not afraid of the mud, he said, there's a river called Jordan. And I baptized Sister Cook in that river not too long ago. He said, you go down to this river, and when you get in this river, he said, something's going to happen to you. And this man, you know, he was in the upper echelon of life, and he leaned on the king's arm, and he said, why do you want me to go down that muddy river? You know, if I go down there, I'll be talked about. People say things about me. You know, that's the kind of a low life down there. Nobody but God would go down there. Let's give the Lord a hand. And so it was God himself that came down into the river to be baptized of John, showed that there was something down there. And so finally this fellow, he fussed and fussed. You know, he said, I know where there's some clean lakes, some clean waters. You know you can be in society and belong to these organizations and it won't hurt your prestige at all. And the prophet just as if to say, well, it's okay with me, you know. You got your sovereignty. You're a leper, you can go to them churches if you want to. Just take your sovereignty and go on. But when the man thought it over, he was in a rage because the prophet didn't even bother to come out to see him. He was just talking through a little interpreter, as we say, or he was sending his servant out there. And he just flew into a rage. Don't you know who I am? Don't you understand? I work on a certain job. I'm a man of prestige. You ought to feel privileged just to have me come over and talk with you. And the prophet said, well, I guess all that's all right. He could have said, but tell him anyway, he still needs to go down to that river down there and dip down that muddy river a few times. And oh, he flew into a rage, and the little servant began to reason with him. He said, look, let's reason together. He said, which makes sense the most? For you to keep your leprosy and go away with your prestige? He didn't say in those words. This is what he told him. He said, or just humble your heart a little bit and go down that muddy river. He said, it's a simple thing. If you do what this prophet said, he knows what he's talking about. And you go down there and you dip a few times down there and you won't have this plague anymore. And that old boy began to think it over. He began to think it over. And after a while, when he thought about the pain and the misery of the leprosy and all of the shame that went with the leprosy and all these other things and the joy and the splendor and the magnificence of that great, wonderful healing, that nice, strong, healthy-looking body, he said, okay, where's the river? Down to the river he went. Down to the river he went. And the Bible said he went down and down and down and down. About 6-7 times he come up. And the Bible says his skin was like that of a little child. A little baby. He looked at it and his skin was like a little baby. It was so perfect. And all he did was what the preacher told him to do. That's all he did. Somebody says, well now, you think that's where I missed it. That's where you missed it. That's where you missed it. Somebody says, what do you mean? I mean you wasn't born again, so your skin's not like the little babies. Jesus said, lest you become as the little baby. You become as the little child. See, you've not been born again, so when you look at your old rough, rugged self, you know what you look like, you know. I'll tell you what, folks, when you get into the waters of life and by the washing of regeneration, God will take away the smudge. And you look at yourself in that new birth and that eternal life and that splendor and glory and magnificence. And you don't know what God said when he said in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, to the contrast of the curse, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That's what will happen. That's the contrast. That's the difference, see. So then, I'm telling you that what we need to do is humble our hearts, honor the Lord, obey the Lord, submit ourselves, conform to what the minister is saying. Don't be rebellious. Don't be contrary. Don't try to add the world to what you are. Don't try to make that your lifestyle out here and cut corners and try to get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, you know, and then get it all gummed up and mixed up like taffy. Don't do that. See, be clean, be straight. Be clean and straight. And then you'll be holy and godly and pure and perfect. Then you'll have that glorified body that Jesus promised. That throughout eternity, you'll have a wholesome life of goodness, love, and strength. And all of the sickness will be gone. Let's read it on and we're going to close. Just a little exhortation. So he said, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, whether it's overseas or whatever, you know. I set up a little program here. I got you to feed some of those children over there that was hungry, some of them that don't get but a meal a day, and some of them don't get that. Some just get a little rice. Some don't get that. Some starve to death. I had you feeding some of them, and I had numbers and numbers of those children. And I had numbers and numbers of Bethlehemites. But you know what happened? You know what happened? Charity began at home with you. As the old saying, it outgrew the word of God. And charity started at home. For you, you'll afford no more to feed your belly and your family's belly. And one by one, the Bethlehemites dropped off. I'm telling you the truth. I had numbers of them that fed a little child. Directly, it went to a little child. Well, you got the picture, you knew about him and everything, and could have took care of him, could have schooled him as to whatever he needed in life, as to just the development, as the development of its little mind. But not you. Not you. You had rather feed your belly. You couldn't stand the responsibility. You couldn't stand the thoughts of giving that little one something out of your paycheck every week. And as a result of that, some of you don't have much of a paycheck. And some of you are going to have less than that. And as a result of that, since that little tummy went hungry over there, now you got a belly full of ulcers. And now you got problems in your lungs. And now you got problems from a wreck. And now you got problems from every other source. Or you got heartaches because something happened to you. And it tore up your little wife and tore up your little home and tore up your children. Because you was Mr. No. See, and you couldn't listen to the preacher. You couldn't listen to what was right. So what you did, you got caught in the mire. Let's give him another hand. I'm just telling you the truth, folks. That's the way it works. That's why the Bible says, when you deal your bread to the poor, the hungry, you take the naked into your house, you cover him. Sending clothes into Mexico. You don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Then what happens? He said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. I say again, a lot of people say, well, I don't have a ministry. I don't have nothing to do. Nobody knows about me. I'm not great. I'm not fabulous. You know, nobody sees me. I'm just so great and mighty and whatever. And yet nobody sees you. And it just tears you up. You're so great. And you think, well, I'm so great. You know, and what I'm supposed to be. And 10 years later, you're less than what you thought you were to start with. And then you're less and less and less. And all the time, you're going less and less and less and less. And you think, my God, I got to hurry. I'll never show the world my greatness. You love the Lord? And after a while, you look in the mirror and you think, oh my God, I waited too late. And then you think, well, what happened to the greatness? What's the mirror got to do with it? You know, a president's a president. It doesn't matter if he looks in the mirror at 70 or 80 or 40 or 30. If he's a president, if he's a king, he's still the same. See what happened to your greatness. It was just an infatuation of mind. It was wild hallucinations. And you were all out of order up here and you had the wrong program in. And it was the devil that saveth the things that be of the flesh. And he was trying to use your flesh. And he did as a result of that use your flesh. And you wound up as nothing when the parasite took all the life out of you. And you're just an old carcass now to be thrown aside. See, and all the greatness you had was Satan that's vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind as to his use. And you were nothing to begin with. But see, if you had followed Christ, the Bible says, he that exalteth himself, I'll abase him. Satan said, and I'll exalt myself, and I'll lift myself up, and I'll go beyond the stars, and I'll be like the Most High, and I'll put my throne above his throne. And God said, though you climb up to heaven, I'll cast you down to hell. That's where the old carnal mind is right now, as to the moon, the nest among the stars. All these things have done got there now, and he's ready to cast them down to hell. The whole generation of them. See their intellectual brilliance. The old tree of knowledge. The old tree of death. And somebody says, but Brother Pike, what would we do? Look at the electric lights that's been given us. And look at the clothing that we have. And look at the medical securities we have and the education that we have. Folks, let's not be ignorant. Let's don't be ignorant. The Bible said all that's born of God are of a good understanding. There was no colleges in the wilderness. And yet those people were the most brilliant people in the world. You say, why dispute that? Well, what was it that it was said to these people? Said, when you enter into Canaan, this is going to be the gift from God to you. That all of the nations are going to be afraid of you because of your great wisdom and understanding. What college did they go to? And what hospital did they need? The Bible said that they wandered for 40 years. And their feet never did even swell on them. Folks, that's better than you can do. That's better than you can do in all your medical aid. People's feet swell on them with a regularity. If anybody ever had the foot to swell on them, let me see your hand. My, where's all that medical brilliance? The Bible said their feet didn't even swell on them. And you know what? They never did go hungry. They never did go hungry. Even if things seemed to be a little tight, God would just rain manna down out of heaven and send quails in, as we would say, by the truckloads. So thick they waited in them. How do you understand what I'm saying? What it is, this little society we've got that's vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind with their false prestige has robbed, has degraded, has turned into corruption everything that we've got. The doctors has taken the women folk, taken men there when necessity, when they were pressed with necessity as to the birth of their little ones that should have been done in decency by midwives. The old dogs and the pigs got in there and stripped them down and made harlots out of them. And hardly any of them living in the world today. But what hasn't done a striptease act? Boy, that don't sound right at all. I'm just saying that for this reason. You pick up the paper and you read over here a striptease act. Read not too long ago where a woman got in front of the church and done a striptease act. In front of the church. And you just put her down and you tear her up. And then you get what you call your Pentecostal blessing. And you run off down to the beach down here and you put on your bathing suit. Come on, folks. You run up to the hospital and you're stripped down like a pig or a cow. No better than a pig. Somebody says, but you don't understand. He's special. Yeah, he's special, all right. He's special just like that. Lord, help me not to, you know. I know John the Baptist would have begged for some better words, maybe. He felt like that was the way the Lord wanted it said. To me, he's no more special than that man that's a creep out yonder. Pardon my expression. Somebody said, a creep? Yeah, the Bible said this is the kind that creeps into houses and they take into captivity silly women laden with divers' lust. He creeps in when the husband's gone. And as he creeps in, he meets another creeps. And two creeps get together. And then the husband finally discovers that he wasn't married to a wife, he was married to a creep. And they both leave together. Which is the best for the husband. All right, so that sounds kind of strong, but that's what the Bible said. There are creeps. It takes a creep to creep in. It takes a weasel to weasel in. All right, so then I'm saying, and maybe this is strong, I don't know. Sometimes when you're on the other end of the barrel, maybe it's a little worse. But I'm just saying that they have turned the whole world into lasciviousness, and the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they've turned it into a pool of iniquity. And with false prestige and all of these other things, they have ravished, they have degraded, they've done away with all the morals and decency and everything that a person can cherish. And the results of it is a bunch of reprobates that call themselves preachers, that's called all kind of whatever. You know, and got their social parties and whatever. And I'm not saying anything in a degraded way to this extent. Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, nevertheless, the gospel is still spread or preached, and herein I rejoice, because the people are still hearing the word of the Lord. Jesus said, what the Pharisees, scribes, what they tell you something, said, do it, but said, don't practice their way of life. Said, they do sit in the seat of Moses. They do have the word of God. They are telling you those things. Even the Philistines did have the Ark of the Covenant, even though they didn't know how to serve it. It just brought pain and misery, and that's what it's doing to the world today. Religious churches is just bringing plague after plague after plague because they don't know how to honor the Ark of the Covenant. They don't know how to serve the covenant. Even when the Ark of the Covenant came in the days of David, David didn't know what to do. David thought, well, bless God, I'm king. You know, if anybody can handle it, I can handle it. He sat down there and said, bring it over here to me. And they got down there, God killed him. You know, he was saying, look, David, you're a great man. I love you, but let's get this thing straight. I'm the one, not you, David. And David began to get some idea about the situation. And he got so afraid he wouldn't even get around the covenant. But when David humbled his heart, and when David forgot about being king and who he was, and David began to beseech the Lord said, "Everything will be all right, David." He sent down there and he got the Ark of the Covenant, and everything was just fine. And through humility, they approached the Word of God and the way of God and humbled themselves and brought it in. And David was so happy because God didn't kill the others and didn't kill him. He got out there and he danced like a wild Indian. He just danced and hopped and jumped and just went around like a wild Indian. The Bible said he danced with all of his might. Somebody said he was just so moved, Brother Pike, you know, as to feeling good because he had been blessed of the Lord. That was yes, and that was one of the things. But the thing that moved David was the fact that God didn't kill Israel and kill all of them. And that ark was now back in the midst of Israel. And that meant that the blessings of the Lord was among the people. And that's what tore David up. David is left to say, my God, it's home again, it's home again. Everything's going to be all right. And he just couldn't hold himself, and he danced, and he jumped. And then, of course, Saul's daughter, you know, there's always a miserable comforter around. And Saul's daughter, she's thinking in the natural. She looked out there, and she watched him dance. And when he got through dancing, he come back, and she said, I guess you thought you was cute. That's where we sit today, you know. Out there dancing before all them girls, all them women. Somebody now, nobody can think like that. Well, yesterday somebody was thinking like that. I know of a certain couple that moved away, and the Lord showed me why they moved away. And the wife had no idea why they moved away, but she thought she did. But then it slipped out, and something was said, "You out there protruding before all of them? And I don't see the other women doing that," or as they do with regularity, you know, as to what this girl was doing of trying to work for God. And so they moved away. That was the husband's views of it. And that's some of your views. I can't get your wives over here to work because of you. And I can't get the husband over here to work because of the wife. And so it was, she just got all upset and she said, "You really thought you was something out there dancing before all those maidens." You know, and she mocked him. And the Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. And all of a sudden, God prepared David's heart to say to her in so many words, "Woman, that's the end of it. When you mock me and my way of life before God, we don't have no more fellowship." And the Bible said he put her away, and that was the end of her as being his wife. See that old Saul spirit? Jealousy, hatred, malice, fault finding, worldliness. She should have been out there dancing with all of her heart. When David started dancing, she saw that Ark of the Covenant coming in. She'd been a king of Israel's daughter. She knew what that Ark meant in being there. Her heart wasn't right. What she should have done is run out there and grab David's hand and said, "Glory, hallelujah. David, you're talking about dancing. We're going to show enough dance." That's right. And she should have been out there dancing with him. But see, you can't do that. You're not going to come and help Brother Pike, nor help your brother, nor help your sister. You're not going to share a dollar. You're not going to share a prayer. You're not going to spend a sleepless night. See, you're not going to come over. You're going to talk to them out there that's calling it a cult. You're going to listen to that bunch of people that the devil is brainwashed out there. And the way he brainwashes you is with a muddy bucket. And you're going to be all fuddled up in your mind. And you're going to cause me trouble and heartaches. And you're going to run out there and get in all of that gummy mess out there and run back over here and get somebody else all stuck up with that way of life out there. And stiff and starchy as to resist the ordinance and the things of God, and you're going to sit around on the campground in your little trailer, and you're going to backbite, eat. You're not going to do anything for God. You're just going to find fault, be filled with corruption all the time. You're not going to leave, and you're not going to do that. You're going to stay here. Sister, I know that's tearing you up. I know it is. You know that I know. That's why it's tearing you up. It's not tearing you up because of the frame of mind that you was in. It caused me to say these things. But it's the fact that you know that I know that you're having to sit and swallow it down, that you're the guilty party. And you can't stand it because you're so self-willed. Let's give the Lord a hand. You know what? When I went down the stream of Louisiana, I hit quite a number of snags because that place is filled with them. You know? And if you'd quit being a snag, I'd quit bumping into you. All right. So then, what are we trying to do? See, he says here, your light will break forth as the morning. Somebody says, I need to go to the hospital. Listen now. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, like the sun coming up over the horizon. See, and the light will break forth, your light. Somebody will say, hey, that fellow that lives on the hill over there, them folks must have something. As a matter of fact, somebody come to my mind just about that time. Brother James was telling me about his companion here, how that the neighbor was having a problem down there. Some of you run over there, and you did something about it when a house was about to burn down, and the sister says, come over to my house. Sinner, you know. So she comes over to her house, and she treats her nice. She talks to her. She says, you can stay at my house till I get the smoke out and get everything straightened out. And puts her arms around her. And then I hear that it really caused something that the woman thought, well, you know, Brother James Doakes' wife says, she's got something. There's something there, you know. She's a neighbor. She's a nice person, you know, and already there's a fellowship. From that, next time can come a few words concerning the soul. You know, next time can come an invitation to come over to the place called the home of the soul. And the first news you know, somebody's led to the altar. And a soul has been saved from the fire, sure enough. And then you've received a crown. A crown that doesn't fade away. Hating the garments that's spotted with iniquity. Pulling them out of the fire. See, doing something to your neighbor for your neighbor. Doing something outside of gossip and backbite. Folks, listen. On this campground, I have people to come to me and you're their neighbor. You're their neighbor. There's a certain area over here that I'm always hearing things about. And you're their neighbor. And they can't hardly stand you. All you do is backbite, gossip, pitch a temper. Something goes wrong with your children or something goes wrong with this. And you come out there and, you know, a woman, she'll prop her hands on her hip and bless God, I'll tell you a thing or two myself. That don't always work. You know, that don't always work. I know of a case, I happened to be present one time, and a woman bounced out in the yard like that in front of another woman. Bless God, the butcher knife. It didn't faze that woman at all. That woman just kept on coming. And it wasn't long before woman and butcher knife left. I mean, they took off. You understand what I mean? Sometimes you'll bounce out in front of somebody and you think you're big and bad. And then your husband will be helped dragging you over to the house. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. Them things happen. I remember when I was a boy, I guess I must have been about 12 or 13 years old. I wasn't very big, you know, I was kind of skinny, lanky, but foolish with my mouth. And my cousin, he was just a little bit bigger, and he was a little bit stronger, and he was a little bit healthier. He was one of these kind of plump fellas. And me and him were standing at the well, and something was said, and I had another cousin. This one cousin had another cousin. And me and this cousin was just going to kind of buddy together and boycott. So this boy wanted to play with the cousin too. And he said a few things, you know, about it. And I popped off at him and I told him where to get off. And the next thing I knowed, I was on the ground bleeding. My mouth was bleeding. And that settled the whole problem. And the argument and the dispute, that was the end of it right there. See, and you can run out to folks, and you'll be coming back a whole lot faster than you went out there. You better remember something. In the day we're living in, this is a bunch of hippies. They don't have any sense. They don't have any understanding. Even the police, I talked to one of them, and he said, we can't do nothing with them. Even the young people said, we have to use a billy stick on them. And said, it tears us up because we have to beat those young people with a billy stick. Said, but there's no way to reason with them. And we're living in a day when young men, there's just hundreds and thousands of them. It's been to war and been to war, and they've killed on the battlefield. And they're back here, and you don't know who they are. And then there's thousands of them that's killed and robbed and lied and cheated, that's went off to prison, and they've served their time, and now they're out. And the whole world is just a mixed up, mingled mess of murderers and liars and cheats and whatever. And you have to be careful what you say and who you say it to anymore. You know, you can't tell but just looking at them. Wasn't it just 4 or 5 days ago, and I'm going to close in a few minutes. 4 or 5 days ago, I got the word that right up here at Logansville or somewhere along in there, my Danny drove by, him and Joseph, and saw a man laying outside the road. Danny come back and was telling me about it. Said, Dad, said, I feel like that man had been shot. Said he was laying there. Said, Joe said, well, he's just in a wreck. Said, no, Joe. Said, that man ain't been in a wreck. Said, it just looked like he's one hole right here. And said he was laying there, his eyes, you know, open like that, just staring, and he could tell that, you know, he was breathing his last breath, it was gone. Policeman down over him just going like that, you know, to bring the life back. Then when I found out about it, a couple of people driving a wrecker, this man, he pulls up behind him, and what I understand, I may not have it all together right. The best I got it, this is the way it is. So I don't know whether these boys aggravated him by not letting him pass or whatever and got him all tore up. I know there had to be something that happened when they got up to a red light or whatever. I think the man just whipped out around them, over in the front, jumped out, took a shotgun and began to shoot at them. Of course, that brought on a commotion. And the next thing, I understand there was a policeman came up, maybe a patrolman, and of course the man began to shoot at him too because he'd done gone crazy, I guess. And then the policeman, of course, had to shoot back. And when he did, he shot him in the head and killed the man. That sounds crazy. Somebody said, well, that's just one of them things. I know it's one of them things like another one of them things. My daughter just came down to visit her and her husband. Supposed to go back to the Carolinas today, I believe it was. She pulled up in the parking lot up in Monroe. And a black man, black boy, cut her off here and jumped out and began to say ugly things to her. You know, as to make for her, to try to take up time with her. And of course, it was Susie. And that's not good. Because Susie, she's a good girl. Like I've said to you, I've seen at times at night when she was home, she'd be praying almost all night long, just crying, just her heart broken. But she's also fragile. And when he jumped out like that, she just shoved her car up, you know, and she meant to run over him. Of course, he didn't believe that, but he barely got out in time because she almost got him. Because she sat down as hard as she could go. And I found out she almost got him. He barely made it. So I got a feeling he won't do that no more. If he does anything else, he'll do it a different way. But I'm just telling you. See, that's people. And that's the way it is in the world. Somebody said, well, it's just them blacks. Well, that man, got his shotgun. That wasn't no black. So I said, well, it's just them whites. Well, the man that done that wasn't no white. It's just them people. That's what it is. People that's possessed of the devil. That's what's wrong. See, and you need to be careful, folks. I'm telling you from my heart. You need to be careful. Even my daughters, there's been two or three of them my daughter would be in front of a 7-Eleven or something else. And at night, and Junior, that reminds me, it just comes to my mind, you were present on one occasion where somebody tried to attack one of them or do something wasn't, your mother or something, and almost got tied up in it in a fight and whatever. And your mother was just there in front of a store, isn't that right? Did get in a fight. So that's what I mean. It's a bad situation. And a lot of you ladies, you get upset at me, I say, don't drive at night. I said, please don't drive at night. And some of you, you girls, both black and white, you are bad about driving at night. You just run around everywhere at night. And you think, well, Mr. Bossy ain't telling me what to do. But I'm just trying to help save your life. I ain't trying to tell you what to do. Why should I care? You know, if a dozen of you go out there and get killed, why should I care about that? I said, well, too bad. You know, you just have to replace the dozen. But see, that's not the way I feel. I don't want you to be killed. I think about my human person. I think about my heart, my children, and the hurt and the misery that it's going to be to me. And I say a lot of times to my children, my grandchildren, I say this to you mothers and daddies from the sacred desk, you know. I say, when you get in the car, watch the little one's fingers. Nah, get in there, you brat. You know, it's like I tell my children a lot of times, they say, shut up, you little brat. I said, I ain't got no brats. I don't have no brats for grandchildren. And a lot of times when I say, ain't no need of you acting like a brat. See, I feel this way. I say, watch the little children's fingers, because I've known of cases where little ones got their fingers cut off. Because of that foolish daddy and mother that didn't have no sense of wisdom, or one was mad with the other, or this one didn't care, and the little baby was slapped over the floor, you know, or left there. I tell you what, that's a miserable wretch that does things like that. You take it from me that that's a miserable wretch. A mother that can lose her temper, or daddy that can lose his temper and not consider his little one, that is a wretch. I don't care how upset you get. I don't care how miserable you get. I don't care how much the devil's pressing you. You don't have to terrorize that little one and beat that little one and slap that little one around and curse that little one. You don't have to do it. You're just a brute beast, the Bible said, made to be taken and burned. I know the poem that Cindy just wrote, it's not altogether sacred, as you would say, but I just wish you could hear the poem. It's very clean and pure. As to a little one pleading its cause to a teddy bear after mama slapped it around. I just wish you could hear it. Break your heart. So realistic. Okay, we'll get on with what we're doing here. But I'm just saying, folks, you are wondering what's wrong. See, your health. You've got to have a hospital. It doesn't say anything about a hospital. It said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. But see, I'm just saying this. Somebody said the hospital. Let me tell you, I'm telling you, there's going to be a day very shortly that you're going to find out the hospital don't have nothing to do with it. And the doctors learning in college don't have nothing to do with it. There's going to be men with great degrees. They're going to have them. They're going to be doctors of philosophy and everything else. There's going to be intellectuals and kings and rulers and Einstein standing around everywhere. And there's not going to be one little bit of healing medicine. The Bible said in that day there will be no healing medicines. It isn't the doctors that gave that to you by their intelligence and their ability. If it is by their education and ability, why is it then coming to a place to where they're not going to have any? They're going to be just as intelligent. So far as what, you know, measuring themselves by one another. It isn't the intelligence that gave you lights as to the convenience. It isn't the intelligence that created a tree and a bird and a fish where you could have something to eat and the air to blow upon you and the sunshine to shine upon you. That has nothing to do with man. God has only allowed these things to go to man. Just like if I prayed for somebody and they were healed, that would be God. That would allow me to be a steward. All of this wealth isn't something that you've gotten by your brilliance, and somebody is a great millionaire and he says, look at what I've done. That has nothing to do with it. You didn't do anything. The Bible said it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. I raise up one and put down another. I make a king. And if it's the king's brilliance and if it's his ability, then why is it that it happened to Nebuchadnezzar like it did when Nebuchadnezzar walked through the palace and walked around and said, look what I've done. Look what I've done. We've got a college over here and we've got a bunch of philosophers over here and we've got wise men over here and I've got gold in the treasure over here. Like it was said years ago when the Pope or one of them made the statement, said, today we as the church, not as the early church, but different from that, we cannot say that gold and silver we have none, as it was with Peter. And a preacher popped up and said, yeah, And you can't say, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk either. So it's two ways to look at it. See, Nebuchadnezzar, what did he do? He said, it's mine. What is America doing? It's Mr. President that done it. It's Miss First Lady. It's the governor. It's the law that keep thing intact. But folks, let me tell you something. About that time, the Bible said the hand began to write on the wall. Or something began to happen in that day. And the Lord put him out with the beast and showed him what he was. He wasn't nothing but a beast to start with. And God just said as to Adam and Eve, I've illuminated you with my presence. And this is what you are when you don't have my presence. And his fingernails begin to grow out like claws. And his hair like feathers. I've said this, that's where your bunch of hippies come from. The hair is growing out like feathers now. That's right. And look at some of the women. I've seen them with nails out there. I couldn't believe my eyes. That's right. I went up to a place over in I believe it was in Louisiana. And this woman was working at a desk there. And she had one or two nails. I don't know how many. And it was out there. And I looked. And I looked back. And I thought, what in the world am I looking at? You know, their nails have grown out like claws. File them around, you know. Then when they get through, paint them till they look like blood. That's right. Representing the nails that went in here. And the Bible said, when you're doing yourself, don't let it be a bed of the plaiting of the hair. But they do it anyway, and they curl it around, and they pop the pins in. You know, representing the thorns that went into the head. All lust of the flesh. That's what it is. Well, anyway, I know you called that meddling. Why did it happen to Nebuchadnezzar like it did? And you know, he stayed out there until he was wet with the dew of heaven. He lost his mind like the insane asylums of today, filling up. And he lost his mind. And it wasn't until God finished with the prophecy of Daniel that he considered him again. And then when he considered him, he raised up. And there he was. His mind returned to him. All of a sudden he could understand right. And here he stands out here in the wilderness, out under the stars of heaven, wet with the dew, his fingernails like claws, his hair growed out. And then all of a sudden the great Nebuchadnezzar realized he wasn't great at all. He began to wonder where his greatness was. And then he looked up to heaven and he recognized his greatness. And he said, oh God, to thee be the glory. All the praise and the honor. I'll never do that again. And the Bible says the same God that raised him up to begin with, the same God that made a beast out of him, the same God picked him up and set him over here on the throne, and the same God caused his wealth to come to him, his mind to come to him, his health to come to him, and all of his servants to come back to him. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's what's wrong with some of you. You've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. If you'll come back to your senses, back to your mind, you'll be all right. God will restore you. He'll restore you. Like the man I saw that went to Macon, Georgia, he lost his mind and the vision. And that's what happened to him. He went off on a tangent. All right, so then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine hail shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanities, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Behold, The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for the light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness, intellectual darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We're in desolate places as dead men. That is dead and trespasses and sin while you live. You are stumbling in the night of your intellectual reasoning when it's really noonday as to the brightness of the blessing of God right now at this particular time, and you don't see it. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. That is complaining about our problems and our sicknesses. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Talking about the whole world now, our nation. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there were no judgment. Just become a Christian, and the Jim Jones will get you. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. That's talking about Calvary. And his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto him that turn from transgression. And Jacob saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon them, and my word which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. That is, speaking to Israel, thy warfare is accomplished. Now it is Calvary. And the Gentiles is going to come in also into this glory, coming to thy light. Let's stand together. We could go on and on. I've kept you quite a bit. Just become a Christian, and the Jim Jones will get you. Or that is, they'll be after you. They can't really get you, but they'll get you to the extent that they'll make a slave out of you. As to tribute, for the Bible speaks that when you become a Christian or righteous, you are made a prey. They look for them that will not fight back so they can prey off of them like the wolf does the sheep, knowing that they can't fight back. He won't mess with a goat because the old goat will stick his horns in him. So the worm out there gets off of the hook. That means that we become the prey, but we also, praise the Lord, delivered every day as sheep to the slaughter, but in these things more than conquerors through him that loved us. gave himself for us, and being as to his body, we can say, thank God who giveth us the victory. For though we're delivered all the day long and accounted as sheep to the slaughter, yet in these things we're more than conquerors. So we'll overcome. We'll overcome. Now let's sing that little chorus. I'll overcome. I'll overcome. And I'll overcome. Someday, if in my heart I can believe, I'll overcome. Can you sing it with me? Walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold. Someday, in my heart I can believe, I'll walk on streets of gold someday. For I will overcome, and I will overcome, and I will overcome someday. Can you sing that with me? For we will overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome someday. Within my heart I can believe. Gonna walk on streets of gold. Streets of gold, walk on the streets of gold someday. For else in my heart I can believe, walk on street, sing that with me. Ah, we will overcome. The altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar someday. Sing it with me now. For we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, walk on streets of gold someday. For I'll walk on the streets of gold. Walk on the streets of gold someday. For if in my heart I can believe, walk on. Sing it one more time. For I'm gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. Streets of gold, walk on the streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, walk on just one more time. Oh, we're gonna overcome, we're gonna overcome, and we're gonna overcome someday. And if in my heart I can believe, we'll overcome someday. Walk on the streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold someday. For if in my heart and believe. Walk on streets of gold, someday. I'll walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold. I'll walk on streets of gold. If in my heart I can believe, walk on streets of gold someday. Let's give him another hand. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be alright. So let us pray. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at time. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning, love Him at noontime, love. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down, heaven come down. Sometimes I feel like heaven's come down, heaven has come down on me. Now, don't it make you feel good to know that you don't have to look to anybody, lean on anybody, trust in anybody? You don't have to lean upon the arm of flesh. You don't have to go down to Egypt for your help. But you don't have to worry about hospitals and doctors and money and whatever. That God alone, He is sufficient. And if you have God, then everything is perfect. Somebody says, well, if I got God, Brother Pike, if I just have the benefits of the hospital, the benefits, and sell me some insurance for the benefits and the benefits. Don't be a fool, folks. If God can't take care of you here, it's for sure that you can't get out of this world or get nowhere else as to have an eternal life. Let's don't be a fool. Let's don't make a joke out of this thing. If God can give you eternal life, it's for sure He can take care of the one you got that He's already given. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm talking about for real, we'll say hallelujah. Like you're really convicted in what we're saying here. Hallelujah. That makes the devil mad. Did you know that makes the devil mad? That makes the devil mad. That makes that old carnal mind so mad because they feel like they're the big boys and the big girls, you know, and that they're watching over us and we have to give them all of our money and all of our attention, and they enslave us and they're the big folks, you know, and they're watching over us. Poor little bunch of ignoramuses. Let's give the Lord another hand. Folks, I tell you, one day they're going to learn where ignorance is. They're going to learn where ignorance really is. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible said all of them that are born of God have a good understanding. Ain't nothing ignorant about them. They're the big boys and girls. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven. Out over the wild, stormy deep But in Jesus I am saved evermore, for I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Can you say it one more time? For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes as we go our way today. Let's watch and pray. Be sure to watch and be sure to pray, and it'll work. And remember, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that the house of the Lord might be filled. He said that my house might be filled. This is the desire of God. Go out. Do the things I tell you. Show love and kindness. Solomon said to have friends, one must show himself friendly. He doesn't have to compromise. He can be steadfast and as strong as a lion in his spirit as to doing wrong or compromising. You don't have to do that, but you do have to be friendly. Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans, and yet he was not partakers of their iniquity, and that the Bible said, come out from among them, be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. While you're standing here with your hands lifted up, I want you to consider the cause of the Lord. Consider the things that I'm telling you. Remember that Jesus loves you. I told you that when we come in. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate your efforts. I appreciate Brother Gary and the brethren going out. They brought in about $1,200 yesterday. Others giving until it hurts. Brother Bullard and his wife sent, and his son, his children sent about $800 up. I really hope. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that you care about the Lord, and not only about the Lord, but you care about me. Because I know you do all things as unto the Lord, to labor, stay out there at night, work, all these kind of things. And I know that different ones take advantage of you. And it hurts me because they misuse you. I use you, but I try to use you for the glory of God and to the advantage of your own soul and your children and home. For the parents left for the children to give you a place. You know, but others misuse you. They want to take your benefits and they want to take everything you've got. And they'll ravish your home, they'll break your heart, and they'll leave you without anything. Because they misuse you, and they could care less about you. Never get anything in return from them as to a love or desire or kind word or anything else. But folks, though the hireling will flee when the wolf cometh, the good shepherd won't do that. He'll give his life. And if a man is really bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, he won't forsake you. He'll stand by you. He'll try to help you. But the hireling, he'll flee. He'll take off just as sure as something goes wrong. He'll take off. He'll say things. He'll do things. He'll tear you down. He'll reproach you. But the good shepherd won't do that. The good shepherd will give his life for you. If it comes right down to it, he is the body of the Lord Jesus. He'll die for you if he's a good shepherd. Daddy, mother, real daddy and mother, they'll die for you. That's true. Mothers have been known to run into a burning building. because their little one was in there and lost her life with them. And the Bible says that a mother may forsake her sucklings, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've engraved you in the palms of my hands that I may never forget you. So it is something that in the palms of the hands he's engraved you, a love even stronger than a mother's love. So while we stand here together, I'm going to ask Brother Ron Clyde to come up here and dismiss us. And while Ron's coming, I want y'all to pray with us. And let's consider, we've got a wonderful thing, folks. Like the people that was in the vision looked and said, we've made a mistake. We've branded those people wrong. That's a great thing. And many of them are doing that. There's always the baser sort, as Paul called it, to give him trouble in that day. They'll always give you trouble as to the law or anything else as they did the early church. But you just love the Lord. My little ones, little girls and boys, love the Lord. Be good in school. Do the right thing. Keep your little hearts pure and sweet and kind. Because you've got a great life ahead of you. Jesus tarries, it's going to be a great life for you. You're going to run into problems. Satan's going to bring old dirty, filthy things to your mind. He's going to say things to you. Little spiritual children of the Lord, it's going to be that way with you. But you don't have to listen to that garbage and put up with that trash. You don't have to give a lodging for an old devil to come and lodge in the branches of your tree. Put it down. Put it out. Don't give place, not even for a minute. Don't run to televisions and newspapers and everything else compromising and as a religious hypocrite because you don't want to hurt nobody's feeling and they want you to eat out of the pig trough with them. Pardon my expression. Don't run over there trying to say, well, I'm wise and I'm congenial. You know, I'll win them to the Lord. You're already wallowing in the mire with them. Both of you are already in that condition. You ain't going to win nobody nowhere. But hold the steadfastness of your heart. Stay away from the things of the world. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. If you eat with the sinners and the publicans, and sometimes you do, you go to get a meal at a cafe or whatever, you know, be a light. Treat them right. Be holy. Be godly. Be pure in body and in spirit. That God may present you blameless, body, soul, and spirit.